to Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 49 on June 5th, 2013. I'm going to jump right in with a listener who raised the topic of trans women. And here's his letter. I know you've spoken many times of the difficulty of guys finding a pegging partner, and I wonder if anyone has discussed another angle with you. I've gotten into sex with trans women as a way to get pegged, while still feeling that I have a female partner. I don't really feel any gay or bi desires to be with a guy. I love women, but I confess that I have gotten into cocks and being penetrated. I haven't been fortunate enough to find an understanding woman yet. Meanwhile, in my online searches, I found my way into trans porn and got really interested. I find the contrast between a soft, curvy woman's body with tits and ass and a hard cock and balls to be really hot. So then I started scanning the ads on Backpage and started thinking about making it real. I took the plunge like 3 months ago and started seeing some real trans women. It has been some good, some bad. Unfortunately, many of them are rip-off artists, use fake pictures, have real personality issues, etc. I've been fortunate to have one really good experience so far. It was a girl who travels most of the time to different cities. I saw her when she was in town recently. Really cute girl, so passable. That really added to the excitement when she opened the door and I saw her. We chatted a little, then started playing around. When I slipped my hand up her leg and felt her semi-hard dick along with the soft balls, all hairless thanks to some nice waxing, I stiffened immediately. She laughed when I talked about pegging, said that no bio woman could do as good a job as she can. This was my fourth attempt. I told her about the earlier, not-so-great experiences that I had with other trans women that weren't so nice. She was sympathetic and said she would make it up to me. Sure enough, she did. She knew just how to get me hard, then had me get into doggy while she fondled my ass and reached under to play with my cock and balls. Then she started teasing my cheeks and crack, and I felt the pressure of her finger on my hole. After some more teasing there, I felt something else bumping between my cheeks that wasn't her finger, and it was so hot to feel her nipples and long hair and soft lips all over my back. I let go and felt her push her way into me, oh so gently. I tucked my butt back up against her so that I could feel her deep. Then she began to move. Oh God, Ruby, she knew how to move those hips. She'd had practice. I don't know how much time passed. It felt so good, but eventually I wanted badly to spurt and I wasn't going to come hands-free. She flipped me on my back and resumed while she started stroking my cock. She looked so pretty, bending over me, tit swinging as she thrust into me. A few more pumps and I lost it, just lost it. I came so hard in her hand, crying her name, and she slowed and stopped and held me as I shook. Then after a moment, she gently slid out, pulled off her condom, and cuddled next to me. We kissed as I felt her cock and hugged. I offered to suck her off, but she said that was okay. She had some other appointments and needed to stay ready. That hurt a little. It reminded me that it was all business after all. When I had first gone to see her, I had visions of plowing her ass too, but I was in no shape too at that point. My dick was just limp and useless, and that added to how vulnerable I felt. But I felt so good and so satisfied. From then, it was just a shower to get myself together, and then I was on my way. Hopefully she'll be back in town again soon. In the meantime, I'm keeping my eyes on the ads to see if there are any other good prospects. Now, I'm wondering whether to just go the trans women route for a while. But remembering the bad or blah experiences that I've had, I have to remind myself that it won't compare to having a woman peg me who has a real attachment to me, even if the cock isn't quite as genuine. Thanks for writing in about your trans woman experiences and the whole overlap with the pegging for you. I've actually heard a number of guys talk about how they can't find a pegging partner, so they either find a trans woman or another man to penetrate them. And then I have a pegging friend of mine who wrote me some time ago about his good time he had with a trans woman. And of course, I wanted all the lovely details, as pervy as I am. and he mentioned at one point that he gave her a blowjob. And when I expressed surprise, he said, "Hey, she's a chick with a dick. I have no problem giving mutual pleasure." And I gotta say, that took my respect for him up a couple of notches. Fluid sexuality turns me on, absolutely. Going for the trans woman is a choice that some guys make. And I can't, you know, I understand that it's a little bit easier, mostly because, how do I say, guys just will do casual sex more easily. And so even though we've got a trans woman here, she's maybe still got the guy urges. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, if we have any trans women listening here, which I hope we do. It'd be great to think that everybody was interested enough to listen, but it's a choice that I wonder about it. I wonder if trans women feel like I do when the guys desperate for pegging approach me for my strap-on and they don't approach me as a person. You know, I wonder, do trans women feel like they're just desired for their cock? And any trans woman out there, if you're listening, write and tell me how you feel about it. And feel free to correct any non-PC terminology I have blundered into, because I am trying my best not to say the things that you women don't like. As I blunder into my last little part there. And to the reader, you know, you're wondering whether to go the trans woman route for a while. Who knows? Maybe you'll meet a trans woman and fall in love with her. Wouldn't that just be about the best thing ever for you, it sounds like? So, I don't know. Sounds like that's an easier route for you right now. So, do what you need to do. So, a reader sent me a link to a new kind of handmade strap-on harness. It's crocheted. I'm serious. And it's available through an Etsy store, and there's a bunch of different colors and a few different styles, and there's a few other kinky things there for sale too, like floggers and stuff, and I have no idea how well they work. It would seem like they might have a bit too much stretch in them, but perhaps not. Anyway, I have a link to them for interested parties. I think they sell for $40, a few of them sell for $30, and thanks to the reader for alerting me to the handcrafted harnesses. I haven't seen anything like that yet, and I'm really curious to know how they do. So if anybody buys one, report in, please. Okay, back on podcast 47, the wife of a female-led relationship, she wrote in regards to the bisexual topic about her husband's first experience. Actually, she was going to try and get him to write in about the experience, and she wrote and told her version of it, and that's what I'm going to read now. Well, I've had no luck in getting my hubby to share his experience. However, he has given me permission to share my experience of his eventful evening. I really don't want to share too much. I'd like to give my hubby the chance to explain the whole story when he feels comfortable, but I'll give you the gist of it and some juicy details. My husband and I are both fairly young. We're both 28, and as I've said before, we've lived a female-led relationship ever since we started dating. For a very long time, I've held a desire to see my husband submit to a man, as he would do for me. Guy-on-guy sex turns me on, and my husband submitting turns me on. I guess it seems natural that the two would combine together. My husband has also shared this desire to submit to another man, though for a very long time he hasn't quite been ready. I can't speak for my husband as to why he came around, but about a month ago he spent a whole night in our bedroom with another man. The other man's name was Ben. We had met him at a swingers club. He was gay, black, 40 years old, and very tall, about 6'5". Ben was a top who identified as kind of a dominating daddy type. My husband was perfect for him. Oh, and Ben's cock was absolutely huge. It was probably near 10", and it was so thick that when my hubby put his hand around it, there was about 1" between his fingers. I swear this man would be God's gift to women if he weren't gay. For the most part, I let my hubby and Ben have some privacy. I stayed in the room to watch my hubby give Ben a passionate blowjob, but when Ben directed hubby to get up on the bed on all fours, I knew it was my cue to leave. I could hear them moaning and panting as I fell asleep. I woke up late the next morning and went back into our main bedroom expecting to find Ben gone and Hubby asleep, though when I opened the door, I found Hubby and Ben in the midst of some passionate morning sex. Hubby was riding on top of Ben. The image of Hubby's asshole slowly being stretched over Ben's enormous cock was quite a turn-on, though I quickly shut the door to let them have their privacy. After 20 minutes, Ben left and Hubby joined me at the breakfast table. I really hope Hubby will come around and share his entire experience. For now, that's really all I can share. I think my husband needs to share the rest on his own time. However, I hope you enjoyed my take on his special evening. Wow. Thank you for that totally hot story. I absolutely love guy-on-guy sex. I watch gay porn. And I eventually hope to be watching on the sidelines someday while my partner-to-be has some fun with another guy. Anyway, for your husband's first experience, it sounds like everything went incredibly well. I'm glad that he could accept a cock that large and had such a great time. Personally, the maximum I prefer is at least a couple of inches shorter than that, but, you know, asses don't bottom out quite like a vagina does. If he ever would like to tell the story, of course, we'd all love to hear it, but there's no pressure to share. Some memories are best held close, you know? And as far as thinking differently of him because he had an experience with another man, I know you mentioned that on your other comment. Not me, no judgment here. I mean, there are those out there who would judge, sure. But I suggest perhaps they're not worth your time anyway. I have more respect for anyone who actively explores their desires, not less, no matter pretty much whatever those desires are. It takes courage to explore your kinks, indeed. Okay, the next reporting in was from our Provincetown third story guy. He checked in with some wonderful news that I am going to call Pegging Celebration Time. I wanted to follow up with my trip to Provincetown. What a great time that was to sit on the deck and enjoy the view. Then the evenings pegging on the deck. Oh my God, that was so hot. Looking out over the water with my wife giving me the in and out. So sexy. I would also like to let you know I was able to come hands-free from pegging. After a week of no coming, my wife wanted to peg me, so I was happy to give her what she wanted. After about 30 minutes of her riding me and then me riding her, I was able to release without any other stimulation other than the dildo inside me. I came all over her belly. I didn't think it was going to happen, and when it did, I was blown away. Yay, hands-free orgasm. So for those of you who are trying for that, part of the formula I've heard repeated, and that this man also repeats, is abstaining for a while before getting pegged. It really seems to make a difference. Certainly did for this guy. And I know that there are a bunch of guys out there who are probably literally drooling over the thought of getting pegged for 30 plus minutes. You two have stamina. I like it. That's how I am. I just keep going and going and going. I mean, why would I stop when I'm having so much fun? Yeah, so the hands-free orgasm. Wow, congratulations, sir. Well done. Okay, here is a letter from someone across the pond. I'm an American expat living in Germany. I've recently discovered your site and am deeply, deeply grateful for your advice, your information, and your dedication. You've opened up a new world of fun for my partner and me. I've learned so much from you and your listeners. So fun, so fulfilling, so meaningful, so bonding, and so sexy have been our recent experiences thanks to you. Yesterday, we went to buy some dildos and found the material to be thermoplastic rubber. They say that there are no phthalates contained. I did a bit of research on the web, but I'm still not sure if these are safe to use. Do you have any knowledge of this material? Thank you so much, Ruby, from the bottom of my heart. You're wonderful. Thank you for all of your kind words, first of all. And TPR, it's also called thermoplastic resin, and another acronym and name for it is thermoplastic elastomer. That'd be TPE, pretty much the same thing. That material is less porous than cyberskin, which is probably one of the most porous things out there. That's one of the skin-like materials cyberskin is. And so it's less porous than that, but it's also more porous than silicone. So condoms should be used when sharing it. TPR toys can't be disinfected with boiling water. You can wash them with warm water and toy cleaner or mild soap, but they can't be disinfected, so that would be the reason for condoms. There's no inherent toxic quality that I'm aware of because they are phthalate-free, but the porosity is not ideal for a sex toy. Keep this in mind, though. What the toy is labeled as is not necessarily what it's actually made out of. Sad but true, there are no regulations and no penalties for lying about what the toy is made from. So it's best if you can to stick to the well-known manufacturers that have pledged only to manufacture safe, non-toxic toys. Now, in that vein, sex blogger Dangerous Lily and sex toy reviewer, she has founded a brilliant nonprofit organization dedicated to getting the truth out there about toxic sex toys. You know, we've talked about this a fair amount, you know, and I'm pretty passionate about it. And I know a lot of other sex educators and bloggers and sex toy reviewers that are very passionate about it as well. What is the only way we can really know whether a toy is toxic or not? Test it. Send it to the lab and freaking test the thing. Only then will you know whether the claims on the packaging or the website are accurate. Okay, you know this because we've talked about it before. The sex toy industry is unregulated, so labels can indeed say whatever they want, not whatever's real. So getting back to Lily's organization, the name of her organization is lovely. It's brilliant. It's called Dildology. And you can find them at dildology.org. And it's just like it sounds. I'll have a link on my blog. But here's the thing. They run on donations because they're going to do these tests on all these sex toys. And they're going to depend on donations to do these tests. If you go to their website, you're going to find this mission statement. Dildology.org intends to provide material verification services and maintain a public database of the results, adding transparency and oversight to the industry while educating the public about the science behind pleasure products. So they have all kinds of checks and balances in place, too. I mean, not the kind our government uses, the real kind, to make sure that the organization is never beholden to any manufacturer, which is awesome. And they're talking about maintaining a public database. Yeah, they're going to create a wiki to publicly release the results. This is all about as good a news in the toxic toy fight as it gets. It's totally awesome. So they've been collecting donations from the website. But there's another place collecting donations that still gives to the same place, Dildology. It's called offbeater.com. They've started an offbeater project. Now, offbeater is kind of a new kind of Kickstarter for porn or for adult-oriented projects, which rocks. I just found out about it. Dildology needs to raise $3,000 by June 22nd to get funded. What getting funded means on Offbeater is that basically you can go to the Offbeater website and pledge your donation, but it only gets charged if the goal is reached. If the goal is not reached, then nobody gets charged and, you know, you don't get any money. So if you just go to the offbeater.com website, actually the Dildology project is right there on the front page. And if you're just listening to the podcast and you never go to my blog, Offbeater is spelled OFFBEATR. There is no E there. So it's offbeater.com. And I'm going to put, obviously, a link to the project itself on my website. So I am passionate about this idea. I think this is a brilliant idea of Lily's. And all of the people I know that are passionate about getting the name, the word out there for toxic sex toys and making a real difference and making it safer for people and educating the public about it, they are all totally passionate about it as well. So I'm trying to spread the word as absolutely as much as possible. about this, and here's what I'm going to do for this project. Okay, so listen carefully. Many of you know that I have erotic story memberships, and the top of the line membership is called I Want It All, because you not only get a story a month for a year, but you get all the stories in the archives. Currently, there's about 30, I think a few more. So that actually works out to a little over $1 a story. So if erotic pegging stories are your deal and you get off on those, or if you're perhaps a bit of a sadistic woman who likes to have her husband in a chastity cage and have him read the pegging stories aloud. I came up with that idea a while ago, and I've never done it, but it sounds deliciously cruel. Anyway, back on track here. Here's how I want to help Dildology. During the month of June, if you donate $25 to the Offbeater Project and send me a screenshot of your thank you, I will refund half the price of your I Want It All story membership. So you go to the Offbeater Project, you make a donation, and you get the thank you screenshot, you send it to me, and then come to my website, buy an I Want It All membership for $50, and I will refund $25 of that back to you through PayPal. So you get all the stories, plus you get to help out Dildology for the incredibly low price of $50. Now, everybody needs to spread the word about this organization, and especially you need to spread the word about the Offbeater Project. Because here's the reality of the situation. When manufacturers have their toys made overseas, and Lily actually gave me the heads up on this, I used to say, don't buy any toys from China. Well, it actually turns out that a vast majority of toys with vibrators and moving electric parts and things are made over there. They have to be made over there. So a fair number of manufacturers do have their toys made overseas. And the plant, despite the best intentions of the manufacturer, despite a manufacturer that wants the best platinum-grade silicone to be used only, the plant will sometimes, unauthorized, change the material of the toy to cut corners and make more profit. So this means that unless the manufacturing is, I don't know, overseen on a regular basis by the manufacturer, that the plant is overseen, or perhaps a sample toy from a shipment is tested in the lab, we still don't know if our toys are 100% silicone. So this testing service is really needed. This posting of results publicly on a wiki is really important too, because if a company has a test result that is not 100% silicone when they thought it was, hopefully heads are going to roll at the plant. And pretty soon, plants won't pull this shit anymore. This is how things are going to change. Because believe me, despite the fact that chemicals in some sex toys have been banned in children's toys, the government is not going to stand up and enforce regulation standards for sex toys anytime soon. Why? Because as Jennifer Pritchett, one of the owners of Smitten Kitten, said, they don't want to talk about butt plugs on the evening news. They want to talk about children's toys. Okay, and speaking of Jennifer Pritchett, if any of you listeners are in the Minneapolis area, Smitten Kitten is going to have two classes, a prostate massage class on June 17th and a pegging 101 class on June 18th. The links are on my blog, and you can also go to Smitten Kitten online and click the events tab, and it'll be right there. The classes are going to be taught by Aislinn Amirzian, and she co-wrote the book The Ultimate Guide to Prostate Pleasure with Charlie Glickman. So don't miss these classes if you are in the area. My last piece of information is an announcement that I'm really, really excited about. If you followed my podcasts, you heard me rave last year about Catalyst Con West and how I felt like I found my tribe, and there were all of these people there who were just as excited about sexuality as I was. And I don't mean just having it, even though most of us are that way too, but learning about it, being sex positive, making sure that sex education is happening for the young people. You know, the activism, the level of knowledge there, I really found my tribe. It was amazing. So Catalyst Catalyst Con West is coming back around. And by the way, if you're on the East Coast, this convention changes coast every 6 months. So in March, it will be Catalyst Con East, and in September, it'll be Catalyst Con West. So if you're anywhere around either of those places, to be honest, I'm not sure where it was held on the East Coast, I'm embarrassed to say. But if you go to Catalyst Con's website, you can certainly find that out. But what this is like is it's not just a convention for sex educators or activists or clinic workers or sex workers, because there's some of those there too. This is basically a convention for anybody who's really passionate about sex and about learning more about it. I mean, there's really something there for everyone. There's so many different sessions and learning opportunities that Dee Dennis puts together for this thing that it's just astonishing. So here's the news. Catalyst Con West is coming September 27th through 29th. It'll be in Woodland Hills, which is an area of Los Angeles. And I have been asked to moderate the ass panel. I love this, and I'm honored. I will actually be moderating a panel with C.T. Shank, who is the CEO of Aneros, Tom Stewart, who is the owner of Sport Cheats, and Charlie Glickman, who I just mentioned wrote the book The Ultimate Guide to Prostate Pleasure with Aislinn Amirzian. That is certainly not the only thing that Charlie has to recommend him. He is an incredibly knowledgeable guy about all things sexual. But specifically, we're all coming together here for the ass panel. I hope if anybody's around the neighborhood in Woodland Hills on September 27th through 29th, you will stop on by. It is not an expensive convention to attend, and it's so delightfully open. I mean, it's one of those places where you can go and be talking about sex in 5 minutes. I love that, those kinds of places. And I'm thrilled to be leading this panel. I think we're going to have some great discussion about, well, basically what it's going to focus on is the world of anal play, this and the stigma around it, pegging, prostate pleasure, things like that. So we're going to have a great time talking about all that stuff. And I'm going to be talking about it a lot between now and then, because I want as many people to go to that conference as possible. And I am extending the same thing I do at every time I speak publicly. You go to that conference, you find Ruby, and I will give you a hug. Absolutely. So far, believe it or not, no one has taken me up on that. So, like, be the first, man. Come to the conference. Get a hug from me. I'm so excited about it. And it's all the way until September. So, the link, of course, will be on my blog. And, yeah, come on down and join the fun. So that's my last announcement. But, you know, I really did want to say one more thing. I get a lot of letters. And there's a theme echoing through. I hear from a lot of guys because guys are interested in the pegging. Not as many women are. It's pretty obvious from the stats on the Facebook page that I have that largely my audience is men. And I hear a fair number of stories about, I hear a fair number of stories from men who respond with such depth. I mean, what I'm trying to say is they offer up such incredibly personal stories, and they get real wistful sometimes when they're in a relationship and they're with a partner who does not accept this side of them. And sometimes they're in process, you know, they haven't really completely come out with the whole pegging thing, and they've maybe made a few forays into introducing anal play or something and gotten rejected a little bit, and they're very sad about it. And so I get these letters from these guys, and I realized just the other day, it became so clear to me how important it is to try and completely accept your partner's sexuality. I mean, what greater gift can you give your partner than to do that? And I know that it's much more complicated than just throwing those words out there, because we all have our likes and our dislikes and our hard limits and things like that. But if it's in the realm of something that's okay with you, and it's not something that puts you off, the gift that you give your partner to completely accept their sexuality is such a huge one. It's so affirming, it's so deepening with the intimacy between you. It's such a gift. So any of the women out there that are listening, please do this if you can. If pegging is not something that puts you off and you're kind of so-so about it, it really pays to pay attention to the passions of your partner. Because in doing so, you just feed this great feedback loop between the two of you. He's happier, and then he wants to make you happier. And I just wanted to put that out there, because some of these emails that I get are just wistful is the word. It really is. And I wish that I could just get all these women together and talk with them and tell them how important it is to just take a deep breath and accept your partner's sexuality. And, you know, yeah, the words are easy to say, and sometimes it's not nearly so easy to do because of social conditioning and all kinds of different things. But if you can do that, what a gift. You know, if you can do that, please do. And then write us and tell me about it. Because I want to know. I do. I want to hear stories, the good stories, about how you're a woman and you jumped in with both feet and decided you were going to try this, and how cool it ended up being, and how intimate, and things like that. So, okay. And you can follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_Ryder. Please like my Facebook page. Please subscribe to my blog. My podcast is on iTunes, where you are hereby requested, please, 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 to go and rate my podcast and write me a review. I would be most appreciative. You can also listen to my podcast directly on my blog at peggingparadise.com. Please send your questions and your stories and maybe a picture here and there to ruby@peggingparadise.com, or you can just click the Write Ruby link at the upper right of every page on my blog. Thank you for downloading and listening, and happy pegging.